and welcome to Why This Movie, a podcast about our favorite movies and why we love them so much. My name is Christopher Alan Maloney. So Amy, thanks for being on the podcast.
Well, Christopher, thanks for having me.
How do we know each other?
Well, we were married for 10 beautiful years, and then we've been happily divorced for 5-ish beautiful years, just bros, I guess.
Was that you?
What do you mean? Yeah, yeah.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah. It was all a blur, huh?
What movie are we talking about?
Goodfellas.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hey, Mom, what do you think?
You look like a gangster. I
know I'd go. By the time I grew up, there was $30 billion a year in cargo moving through Idlewild Airport. And believe me, we tried to steal every bit of it.
What do you do?
I'm in construction.
He's not Jewish.
Mazel tov.
For most of the guys, killing's got to be accepted.
Hey, Henry, here's an arm.
Very funny, guys.
Here's a leg.
Here's a wing. What do you like, the leg or the wing? It's you.
For us to live any other way was nuts. And we were treated like movie stars with muscle. We had it all just for the asking.
It's gonna be a good summer.
It was a glorious time.
In a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power, a new generation carries on an old tradition.
In 1990, legendary filmmaker Martin Scorsese released Goodfellas, the true story of a man who worked for a New York crime family for 25 years before becoming an FBI informant. Ray Liotta plays Henry Hill, a guy who saw the glamour of the men who made organized crime their living and decided he wanted in. He starts out by running errands for the wise guys in his neighborhood as a kid.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. Even before I first wandered into the cab stand for an after-school job, I knew I wanted to be a part of them. It was there that I knew that I belonged. And to me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted. They double parked in front of a hydrant, and nobody ever gave them a ticket. In the summer, when they played cards all night, nobody ever called the cops. Must I forever
be a... By the time he's a young man, Henry, along with his friends Jimmy, played by Robert De Niro, and Tommy, played by Joe Pesci, is part of the inner circle. These mafia guys are a family. They look out for each other and they work hard. It just happens to be the work of stealing and using violence and intimidation to get what they want. Goodfellas shows us the inner workings of a tight-knit crime family, introducing us to a rich cast of characters, all taken from real life.
There was Jimmy, and Tommy, and me, and there was Anthony Stabile,
how you doing?
Frankie Carbone, and then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy, and his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No Nose. And then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Well, I took care of that thing for you.
And you had Nicky Eyes.
What's up, guy?
And Mikey Francesi.
I saw that guy. Yeah, I want to see him.
And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
I'm going to go get the papers,
Over the course of almost three decades, Henry eventually becomes disillusioned by what he sees as excessive, unjustified killing. The glamour fades, and his vices take up more time than the work. When he gets pinched by the FBI, he's ready to turn on everybody and go into the witness protection program.
I'll blow your brains out! Shut the car up slowly!
For a second, I thought I was dead. But when I heard all the noise, I knew they were cops. Only cops talk that way. If they had been wise guys, I wouldn't have heard a thing. I would have been dead.
Goodfellas was nominated for 6 Oscars, winning 1 for Joe Pesci's performance in the supporting actor category. Both Siskel and Ebert named it the best film of 1990, with Ebert saying it topped The Godfather as the best movie about organized crime ever made.
The Leota character is always an outsider. Right. He's not a pure Sicilian. He's half Irish. He can never be a made man in the mob. He's always looking from the outside. He sees it even when he's in the middle of it with a certain objectivity. And so it's told through his point of view. He looks at these guys. He sees how they work with each other. And it's a fascinating movie. It's a great American film.
Okay, I've seen it twice. I'm going back lots more times. And what I'll go back for is small things, editing scenes, the way he jumps in on dialogue, the way there's that whole sequence about when the Ray Liotta character gets into drugs and it's shot in a whole different fashion because he's high on drugs and Scorsese, the artist, wants to show us that. It's very
and you could special also filmmaking. You could also mention the scene when somebody doesn't realize he's about to get killed and then he realizes it. And that moment of realization is like a hammer blow from the screen.
What we ought to do is in a couple of weeks after people see this picture, maybe we'll go back and look at it again and talk more about it.
Do you remember when you saw Goodfellas for the first time?
Oh, God. Well, I guess when it came out, I was 4?
1990.
So I guess I was probably 4.
Okay. So you saw it when you were 4?
Maybe. I don't remember the first time. I must have been pretty young because I don't remember a time where I hadn't seen it.
Oh, I see.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember a time before having seen Goodfellas. It's just always been the movie I've seen and loved.
Okay, so let me ask you, when did you start to get it and when did it start to be something other than background noise?
I would probably guess like early teens when I started to like get all of it, you know? It was never just like a background thing. Like it wasn't one of those movies like The Pest or something that was just like always on in the background. Like we intentionally would sit down and watch a movie like that one. I don't remember like sitting down for the first time and watching it all the way through, but I do know that when I did, I knew I love this movie. Love it. Like right out the gate. In my unknowledgeable, very humble opinion, that it's a perfect film. I think it's absolutely flawless through and through. From like the music and the camera work and everybody's performance. I love that it's fun and funny, but also like gruesome and dark. I love the characters, everything. I love everything about it.
We know what it's about. Mm-hmm. We know that it's about organized crime, this particular family in New York, and about kind of the glamour of organized crime and how that glamour slowly but surely over something like 25 years starts to fade and how the kind of brutality comes into clear focus. Mm-hmm. So there's that, but then is there anything from the movie that is kind of more universal than that? I mean, if you weren't interested in the mob, what would you appreciate from seeing it if you weren't interested particularly in the subject matter?
You definitely don't have to be like if I said, oh, my favorite movie is Goodfellas, and people say like, oh, I'm not really into mob movies. I would definitely say to them, oh, you don't have to be. Like, it's a great story. Well, first of all, it's a true story, or based on a true story anyway. So there's that element that's like, oh, it's such a famous movie and it's about a real guy. So that's crazy. But then also, like, you know, it's all from the point of view of Henry Hill, who's the main character. And even if you take away all the like quote unquote mob stuff and like hit stuff or whatever, it's like he
what,
well you
what
know
hit stuff
like if you don't care about like all the mob stuff, like the hitting and whacking or whatever.
Violence.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Then it's still just like about a guy who like felt out of place in his childhood and in his family and in his home, and knew at a young age that he knew exactly where he wanted to be, and it was somewhere else with other people, and he got his dream. So it's like, yeah, it's not like, oh, he got his dream in the same way that, like, you know, Rudy Rutabaga did or whatever, but like, it's still about a young kid who wanted something and got it. And then you get to watch him live it out. And just like real life, it's not exactly what you pictured. I mean, life just sometimes doesn't turn out how you want it to turn out, even if you thought you knew the one thing you wanted. But, you know, it's not just about like him going around killing people. It's about his love for his family, his struggles, trying to like be a dad and support his family, but also like the love that he forms for his friends and colleagues. And there's danger and there's crying and there's genuine like tenderness and laughter and like all the things that people love about their favorite movie. It's in this movie. It just happens to have a setting that's like a mobster movie, you know, but it has all the same elements, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that somebody whose professional work, whose job responsibilities include hurting and possibly killing people, do you think that the people who work together in this crime family, are they capable of loving each other?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that. Robert De Niro's character, for example, I mean, you see him just kill people through the whole movie without batting an eye, like seemingly without being affected by it. But someone close to him dies and he cries. I think that's the kind of love that people don't expect to see out of a mobster movie. But yes, of course, I do think that there's genuine love and friendship. It's the closest things they'll ever have to actual friendship. And like, you know, Ray Liotta's wife in there says, we only saw each other. Like, we only saw the guy, like the other good fellas and their wives and kids. And so it's like, you know, maybe they wouldn't have become friends with any of these people out in the real world, but they're all in the same circumstance. So that's the best they can do, you know? And yeah, they love each other because they got no one else to love.
Yeah, I mean, when there's a group of people in one organized crime unit, they're always called a family.
Yeah, and you can tell, like, at the end when Ray Liotta has to part ways, like, with Paul Cicero, you can tell that it hurts Paulie. It's like a father turning his back on his son. Like, it feels that way in the movie. And so in that way, it's very much like a family. It's like the father and brothers. And when one of them gets lost, everybody feels it. It's not just part of the job anymore.
What do you think Martin Scorsese does as a filmmaker that sets him apart from all of his peers and everyone else who's ever tried to make movies?
Mm.
Because I'm not saying that he's the finest filmmaker who ever lived, mm-hmm. but I think that the way he does things and his style is impossible to ignore and impossible mm-hmm. to be like confused with anyone else.
I mean, and you'll know because you're a filmmaker, but like, I have heard that he's kind of a perfectionist, right? Like he'll make you do the same take a bunch of times and have everything need to be just so a lot of the times, right?
I would say not as much as like Kubrick or David Fincher, but
right. Yeah. Yeah. Not to like an abusive amount, but
I'd say he's Scorsese. I think it's probably more accurate to say he just has a very, very close eye for detail.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. So I'm sure he can be kind of a stickler about you know, a lot of things being just right. You know, like the 3-minute shot at the Copa, like that had to be orchestrated so, so meticulously and so carefully. And it turned out perfectly. But I think another thing that he does in his movies is, like, there are a couple scenes in there that are famously improvised. And, like, I think he has it in his bones. And he knows, like, this needs to be done this certain way. This one, I can tell that these actors and these characters are just going to have what it takes to make this scene unfold the way I need it to unfold. I think he puts a lot of trust in the actors. I feel like you can tell that they like to be in the movie and that they respect him and that they must feel like he's trusting them and giving them enough freedom and respecting them. And so I think it's that. I think it's being flexible. Like, guys, I need this to go this way. And then also, you know, like, I need this to go this way, but then also knowing I need you guys to come up with this, and just having the flexibility. And like, I feel like there's a lot of, he just has so much range and it works. And then also, like, the music in his movies is always, it's just so unexpected and it's just so perfect. And I'm sure without even looking it up or knowing that he must choose every song, and he must choose it so carefully based on like the era and the setting. And like, if those characters would have known that song, it like, so I think just a combination of all of those things, like respecting the actors, loving the characters, feeling it out like a parent does about what needs to be done in this situation. And then also just like the music and the camera work and like everything.
Well, that's why. So the Copacabana shot that you mentioned, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. long tracking Steadicam shot, it's become very famous. That only took, I'm pretty sure I heard this before, that only took about 8 tries to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
If that were, and I believe, and Scorsese said that they moved on to other scenes that day. It wasn't, they did that. It took 8 tries, which it really mm-hmm. isn't much. Like 8 takes mm-hmm. for something usually isn't that much.
No, not for that. Like if you watch it, everything has to be done so perfectly, like with all the extras and the turns and everything.
Right. But I'm saying, like, that's why I don't feel comfortable calling him a perfectionist, because I think mm-hmm. with someone like Kubrick, mm-hmm. they could have spent weeks on that.
Yeah, until they hated it.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine certain directors relinquishing enough control to encourage their actors to improvise the way that, like you said, Martin Scorsese does.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad you brought up music, because I was going to ask specifically about the way that he uses music to help tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, he deserves a certain amount of credit for choosing like the Eric Clapton song near the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can't give him, he didn't write the music. You can't uh-huh. give him credit for writing the music. Like if I took a photograph of a striking landscape, I can't be given credit for putting the mountain where it is, but I can right. be given credit for
capturing it.
Yeah, like seeing its potential to help say something.
Yeah, and knowing like that's the picture, that's the frame.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing about Martin Scorsese is that like with Steven Spielberg, for example, you always know that there's going to be a really incredible original score, not a bunch of like pop songs. But with Martin Scorsese, it's like he takes all this, like these found objects, and turns them into what he needs them to be to help tell the story. Do you know anything about kind of how Goodfellas was received when it came out?
No, I don't know anything about that.
So it was critically, especially, like it did well. Like critics liked it. It got 6 Oscar nominations. It won one. I think you know which one.
Yes, I do. Pesci.
For Joe Pesci, right?
Hmm.
He also has one of the shortest acceptance speeches in history, by the way.
And the Oscar goes to Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
Well, it's my privilege. Thank you.
At the time, it lost almost every Oscar it was nominated for except one. But the movie that really like came away as the big winner that night was Dances with Wolves.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a great movie.
It is. But why do you think like Goodfellas would be something that was like harder for the Academy to really get behind?
Goodfellas was great, but it's, you know, not like it's pleasant. And maybe it makes people feel confused and icky. You know, like it's so gruesome. There's so much murder and death in it. But it doesn't make light of it. But I wonder if it was, and you'd probably know, I wonder if it was one of the first movies to just kind of like make you laugh about just so much death, like so much killing. And it doesn't do it in a funny way, but it's just not very somber, or at least none of the killing is really somber. It's like we said at the beginning, the parts that make you feel things are like the human relationships. But I mean, maybe that made people feel weird.
Yeah, it didn't make mobsters, or it didn't make wise guys seem as far removed from mm-hmm. from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe is part of it. Like with The Godfather, all those characters seem so iconic and kind of mythical. But with Goodfellas, it's like you see some of them are just kind of like workaday gangsters. Like they're not remarkable. It's just kind of their job. So in that way, like it's a lot easier to relate with them. I don't know. Maybe that's, like you said, maybe that makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah, I feel like with a lot of other movies, including Dances with Wolves, and I don't mean it in a bad way, it's like whatever you see, you respond to it. Like it's designed so that you'll respond to it. Like, oh, look at how majestic this scene is. Aren't you moved by the emotion in this scene? Isn't this scene very clearly funny? Isn't this scene really clearly have you on the edge of your seat? I feel like Goodfellas kind of takes you on a journey that's like, I'm confused about how I feel. Like what, you know, it's just so different in that way. It's just so unexpected. And I can see a lot of people who are used to a certain type of movie going experience to be like, yeah, that really wasn't for me. I didn't really get the whole vibe.
Yeah, it's less, I mean, Dances with Wolves has some real ugliness in it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But the whole time in Goodfellas, the only people you're following and rooting for are awful.
Yeah. And then maybe that made people feel awful.
Do you have a favorite scene?
Yes, I do. And I've prepared an answer in case you ask me that question. I had a few like runners up, but I have to go with the one where Billy Bats is in the trunk and they're just going to stop by Tommy's mom's house for a shovel and she's awake and they try to sneak in, but of course she hears someone wakes up and she makes them all come in and sit down and she cooks a great big meal for them.
Just keep quiet. I don't want to wake her up. Hey, what was here? What are you doing? What happened? I hit something on the road. You mean it? What happened? What happened? I haven't seen you so long. What happened for you? I hate to see him that. And you too. How are you? What happened? Well, he came in.
I figured, you know.
You know what time it is?
I'm so happy to see him. Look, go inside. Make yourselves comfortable.
No, no, no.
I'll make you something to eat.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep. We're going to leave.
No, I can't sleep. Not while he's home. No, I haven't seen him so long. I want to see him. Then you just go inside.
This stuff is great, but it's like lead.
So tell me, where have you been? I haven't seen you. You haven't even called or anything. Where have you been?
Well, Mom, I've been working nights.
And?
Well, tonight we were out late. We took a ride on the... out to the country, and we hit one of those deers. That's where the blood came from. I told you. Jimmy told you before, I won't say. Anyway, you know, remind him, I need this knife. I'm going to take this. It's okay?
Okay, yeah.
I just need it for
bring
a while.
It back, though, you know.
Well, the poor thing, you know, he got... I hit him in his... we hit the deer in his paw. What do you call it?
The paw.
The hoof got caught in the grill. Oh. I gotta hack it off.
Ooh.
Ma, it's a sin. You're going to leave it there, you know. So, anyway, I'll bring your knife back if they do that.
Anyway.
Delicious.
Thank you. Why don't you get yourself a nice girl?
I get a nice one almost every night, Ma.
Yeah, but get yourself a girl so you could settle down. That's what I mean.
I settle down almost every night, but then in the morning I'm free. I love you. I want to be with you.
Why don't you settle down?
Did Tommy ever tell you about my painting?
No.
Look at this.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I like this one. The dog, one dog goes one way and the other dog goes the other way.
One is going east and the other one is going west. So what?
And this guy's saying, what do you want from me?
That was all improvised, I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Like, obviously she had the painting ready to show them.
Right, yeah.
I think everything else, just they were just saying.
I do wonder if the, looks like someone we know. Like, I wonder if that line was totally off the cuff. Because they seem to genuinely laugh at that.
Yeah, well, that as you know, that painting is hanging in my living room.
Yeah, I know, it's mine.
Is it?
Yeah, that's mine.
I think I got it in the divorce.
It just looks too good over there, though. It's the movie room. Can't take stuff out of the movie room.
Thank you for listening to Why This Movie. If you have a movie that you love that you'd like to talk about, email me at ChristopherAllenMaloney@gmail.com, and you may be featured on an upcoming show. Please remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. And hit the subscribe button so you always know when we have a new episode released.